Maggie and Perloff in for Jim today, this summer Friday. So glad to have you. And this NBA Finals is over. I mean, we can watch the games, Perloff, and that's fine if you like watching basketball. There is not a magic adjustment that Spoelstra is going to be able to pull out of his hat that is going to get the Heat back in this series. They were down 21 going into the fourth quarter last night before the Nuggets took their foot off the gas a little bit. That was the warning shot.
Yeah.
The Heat got back within 10. The Nuggets know they can't mess around. This series is over. And beyond that, I think we're watching maybe the next great dynasty in the NBA. That's how much I believe in the Nuggets.
All right. Stu, EJ, definitely pull that clip just in case the Heat do come back, because you're setting up Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler is listening in his car right now. Oh, you think it's over? I'm going to show you, Maggie. No, I understand what you're saying. A couple things. I do think that the Heat are going to make the games more interesting because they cannot shoot worse. And they're a good shooting team. They've shot really well from three-point land in the playoffs. But as for this dynasty thing, you probably would have said that about the last four champions, and none of them became dynasties because it's such a fine line in today's NBA. The Nuggets won 53 games. Yes, they're completely healthy right now. A lot of other teams are not completely healthy. So that seems to be a key. Are they really head and shoulders above everybody in the West?
I think so, because I'm watching what Jokic and Murray, granted, yes, they have to be healthy, and Murray's had health issues, but I'm watching these two guys and how they play, and it's like Stockton, Malone, feels like Steve Nash, Amari Stoudemire. Like, this
a lot
is
of titles in that group right there.
I know, that doesn't bode well for what I'm saying. But anyway, stay with me, because this is, like, I think the next, they're hitting the Western Conference, I think, at the perfect time. Yes, love watching what the Sacramento Kings did, but I've got an aging Kevin Durant, which, by the way, they have a new head coach in Phoenix. Frank Vogel was hired today, so a little bit more on the defensive end, I guess, for them. But you got aging Kevin Durant. I've got aging LeBron and never healthy Anthony Davis for a full season. I've got Luka and Kyrie in Dallas.
Whoa,
who knows
know
what's going to happen with that?
I mean, Kyrie could be somewhere else. Could be L.A. Could be Phoenix.
Great. So wherever he goes in the Western Conference, and mark that team off as a title contender, because he hasn't been able to get anyone over the top since 2016 and helping LeBron in Cleveland. I'm looking at the West and I'm wondering, this is setting up perfect here. This is going to be like Spurs-esque potentially with Murray and with Jokic.
But there's so many talented teams in the West. You didn't mention, you know, what if Zion comes back to New Orleans? What if the Minnesota ever figures out how to do this? How about the Thunder, who are in the middle of a rebuild? We're 40-42, and they have nothing but young talent.
You're coming at me with the Oklahoma City Thunder. I feel even better about this.
Watch the Thunder in 3 years. They are going to be
legit. Okay, in 3 years, the Nuggets could have three titles by then.
And by the way, you know how the NBA is now. There's just teams are not repeating. Maybe they'll repeat once. There's no way they do it more than they win more than two titles. It's just not happening
anymore. I forgot to mention Golden State, which is the last dynasty that we actually had, who extended their dynasty with a win last year. And they're at the biggest crossroads that they've been in the history, it seems like, of the organization. Maybe go back to Mitch Richmond. But, I mean, you have Steph Curry there, of course. What are you going to do with Klay Thompson? What are you going to do with Draymond Green? How are you going to make this team? What do you do with Jordan Poole? Is he going to be a part of this team? Like,
what about,
everyone's got major questions.
What about Memphis? What about Sacramento? Yeah. What about
Memphis? John Morant might be suspended for God knows how long. You have no clue. And they said Dylan Brooks is not coming back under any circumstances. They've got major things to iron out.
What if the Clippers are healthy?
Please. You're strengthening my argument with the Clippers.
A full-strength Clippers team without Russell Westbrook before. If you had Kawhi and Paul George healthy, I mean, you laugh at them. You think the Nuggets want to see that team in the playoffs?
Listen, not to get too nerdy about it, but there's also this new CBA that happened, which is going to make it really hard for teams like the Clippers and the Warriors to keep all these really expensive pieces around. They're getting dinged now with more, you know, luxury tax and stuff. This is setting up so well for Denver.
I would love to bet you on this. There's so much parity in the NBA. There's 12 good teams in the West, and people don't even think the West is that much better than the East. Now, apparently they are, because the East looks like a JV team. And the fact that Miami's tallest player is 6'8", and they're in the finals shows you. But I don't know, Maggie. There's just a lot of variables here. There are a lot of outstanding players, and Joker is probably the best player. But I don't. You have people. They won 53 games. The Warriors won 73 games in the heart of their dynasty and didn't even win the title that year.
Okay, they won 53 games. That's also because the Nuggets really took their foot off the gas. They were the number one seed cruising into the playoffs. Nobody was really challenging them. I guess Sacramento was on their heels a little bit, but they were fine with where they were at. And the other part is people are having like major voter remorse because they actually voted for your guy, Joel Embiid, as Perloff is Philadelphia through and through. Your guy, Embiid, over giving Jokic a third MVP.
People, who's having voter remorse? Didn't Embiid score about 34 points a game?
I think it's because he hasn't gotten out of the second round.
So would they have had remorse for Joker, the last two MVPs?
I think that's what led to Embiid. And now you got Joker, who's looking like he legit is the MVP this season.
But you can't have remorse about this one and then not have remorse left over from Joker's two MVPs.
Everyone's feeling remorse. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I'm not trying to be hot takey about this. I really see this Jokic and Murray thing, and it looks like the next great pairing.
Yeah, kind of like, it reminds me a little bit of LeBron AD, a little bit of Giannis and Chris Middleton, a little bit of
Tatum Brown.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm talking about the teams that won a title who we assumed would be back.
Oh. And I thought you were making fun of me about all the great duos that never panned out to win titles.
When Milwaukee beat Phoenix in six games, I'm sure people thought, oh, they're going to be back next year and the year after that and the year after that, and especially in the East. And guess what? They're not.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. A little bit different. Our number is than Jim Rome's. You're welcome to call into the show if you want to hit us up on social media at Maggie and Pearl on Twitter, Maggie and Perloff on Instagram. Okay, there's something we like to do on our show, keeping tabs on one of the most interesting people in sports.
What the f*** is Aaron Rodgers up to today?
Never know with this guy. Could be Taylor Swift one day. Could be guest speaking at a psychedelic drug conference another day. I mean, dude's got a busy schedule is what I'm trying to tell you. On the field at Jets OTAs today, no media there, but he is supposed to take the field today. Remember, Perloff, he is nursing an injured calf.
Oh, yeah.
That everyone's saying is no big deal. Meanwhile, yeah. Needed 5 days to heal up. But sure. So instead of Rodgers and what's he up to, we present to you Peyton Manning, who was at game one of the finals last night cheering on the Denver Nuggets, sat down with Stephen A. Smith to talk about Rodgers.
I like Aaron Rodgers for the Jets.
Because?
He's excited. I like the fact that he knows the system. Hackett's the coordinator. Aaron's going to be able to speak the language. He's going to be able to know the system better than anybody in that huddle. He's going to be able to play fast. He's not going to be thinking out there. And I saw him recently at the Kentucky Derby. I can tell he feels rejuvenated. I like the Jets this year.
All right, Peyton Manning, all in on the Jets this year. That's got to be music to EJ's ears. Big-time Jets fan on the other side.
Oof.
Oof what? That was like the nicest compliment you could get.
I'm surrounded by all this Aaron Rodgers positivity, and it's just ridiculous.
You got to just lean in, surrender.
No way. It's totally sickening. It's overhyping a New York team once again. Honestly, he's going to play fast in the New York Jets off. What is he talking about?
He's not even going to be thinking out there. He's going to be gunslinging out there.
Yeah, it's a different team. I mean, maybe he's right and I'm completely wrong and he's just going to pick this up immediately and all the Jets all of a sudden become these great offensive players. But to think that is he going to throw 45 touchdowns as a Jets quarterback with that helmet? That's never going to happen.
Well, I mean, Garrett Wilson changes things a little bit. You do still have Corey Davis. You got CJ Uzama. They all went to a Broadway show the other day, by the way. You see, they went to go see Wicked.
Again. Oh, my God. This has now gotten to the disgusting territory. He took his receivers to play Wicked.
Top of the Empire State Building's okay. Next.
Aaron Rodgers, the last several years. Let's read his touchdown numbers. So, okay. Last year, he had 26 touchdowns. Year before that in Green Bay, 37. The year before that, 48. And then 26. Is he closer to 26 or 48?
Well,
with the Jets.
With Garrett Wilson, I think maybe it's closer to 48. I mean, I don't think that Garrett Wilson is Devontae Adams, but he is a clear number one receiver who was able to have over 1,100 receiving yards last year, catching passes from Zach Wilson and Joe Flacco and Chris Streveler, and like Mike White was their Peyton Manning last year.
I got to see it because I think it's closer to 26, and I would love to make some crazy bet on this. 48. I don't know. I just also, the Jets are obviously a more defensive-oriented team. They have a great defense.
Yeah, so that's a smart thing for them to be defensive-oriented. So good.
I think they slow it down a bit. Mm. Or they at least ask Aaron Rodgers to slow it down a bit, hand the ball off a little bit, just let that defense win games. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers wants to do that, but I don't think you're going to see the gunslinging moving fast, as Peyton Manning said. Remember, Peyton went to Denver. His first year struggled a little bit. Then he threw 1,000 touchdowns his next season.
MVP.
So I think he's putting himself in Aaron Rodgers' shoes, but it's not quite the same team. It's more of a San Francisco model. I think Salah wants to play like the Niners and be a little more conservative. So I don't see this, what he's describing.
Yeah,
I could be totally wrong.
I don't think that's going to fly, because there's also a reality to this, which is you are paying Aaron Rodgers $50 million.
Yeah.
So you're paying him that much. You have a good receiving core. Yes, you have a great defense, but you're not bringing him in there to hand the ball off and be Brock Purdy.
No, you're... Well...
You're bringing him in there to be Aaron Rodgers, and you've got a short window, and this thing is Super Bowl or bust, according to them.
You have a great defense, and last year you had a really good running game.
Yeah, but
you don't think you want to replicate that? I think you want to control the game. You don't want Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball 45 times a game, dropping back, risking injuries. Like he's injured with shorts on now. Can you imagine if he's dropping back 45 times a game? I think they'll be more conservative, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's a great thing. They could win. This is a much better defense than he's had in Green Bay. I know Green Bay drafts a lot of defensive players, but they haven't been good. Aaron Rodgers, if he's smart, says, you know what? I just want to win a Super Bowl ring here. I don't care what my stats are.
Obviously, he wants to win the Super Bowl. That's number one. Is he just all of a sudden not going to care what the stats are? Listen, I realize, yes, dropping back 45 times means the Jets are trailing in these games. And I don't think that's what's going to be happening. I think they're going to be in every game because it is a top five defense, or a top five defense returns this year. So I don't think they're going to have to blow the doors off. Plus, you do have a defensive head coach. They love winning games 21-19.
Yeah, it's solid. There's no way he's letting him drop back 45 times.
It's not about that, though. I mean, let's be honest about this. We can say Robert Saleh this, Robert Saleh that. Aaron Rodgers is going to do whatever the hell he wants to do. Robert Saleh is not going to get anywhere near the offense. This is a Rodgers-Nathaniel Hackett vehicle, and they're going to do with it whatever they want.
Okay. I'd love to wager on this. I guarantee he's not going to throw anywhere near MVP Rodgers. He's just not going to throw the ball that many times.
We have one bet that's already in the works right now. And it's actually one that you're welcome to participate in if you really like to. It's user friendly. So the bet right now is about the NBA Finals. This is the show bet. And instead of doing just Heat Nuggets, Nuggets are too much of a favorite. We couldn't do that. How many games does this series go? So we all got to pick a certain number of games. Perloff picked third, and he got a sweep. So Perloff picked Nuggets in four. I have Nuggets in five. Fan of the show and friend of the show, Nick in Texas, has Nuggets in six. If it goes seven games, the whole show gets involved in it. And here's what the bet is. If you pick exactly when the series is going to end, you're safe. You're free. You win. I got nothing for you. Enjoy your day. If you did not pick the right number of games that the series will conclude in, you have to eat the world's spiciest chicken nugget. Heat Nuggets, hot Nuggets.
The world's spiciest?
Well, you know, it's like world's best cup of coffee. You know, it's like we're one of the spiciest, like,
so,
wings.
A guy in management pulled us aside at a break and said, listen, you're going to have an EMT there. And apparently there's something called the Carolina Reaper that we might have to consider. A pepper called the Carolina Reaper.
I'd never heard of the Reaper. That was the first I heard of that.
Do you need those things to charge your heart? What's that called?
A defibrillator?
Do we need a defibrillator for a spicy wing? What's going on here?
I hope not. I mean, the idea of having an EMT around, probably just a good idea on any day, but particularly when you're eating spicy stuff.
It's a sports talk radio show. We're not, you know, it shouldn't be that dangerous.
Running wind sprints around here? No, we certainly are not. But he also works part-time at the station.
Okay.
Yeah, so but we can have a part-time EMT just kind of look over things a little bit. The Carolina Reaper, I've never heard of that. That's apparently a pepper that you can grow, but you have to handle it with rubber gloves. Yeah.
So were you aware of the risks involved here? Can you actually get really hurt by spicy food?
Listen, when we make a bet here on Maggie and Perloff's show, filling in for Jim Rome today, we go all the way. We don't have...
I don't. I did not know that it was this dangerous.
Yeah, this is it. There's real stakes on this thing. Heat Nuggets, hot Nuggets. We also haven't decided if we're doing chicken nuggets or boneless wings, and that created a whole hubbub.
What's the difference?
Well, that's Perloff doesn't think there's a difference, and that's there is a difference.
Explain to me again the difference between boneless wings and chicken nuggets.
A chicken nugget,
like I'm a 5 year old.
It's like, and a 5 year old would be eating these chicken. Chicken nuggets is like the scraps of the chicken that get molded into a nugget shape. Whereas the boneless wings is a wing where the bones are removed.
And it is molded into shape in a nugget-like form. And by the way, the wings is the leftover part of a chicken. That's
you know, actually, I don't want to think too hard about what the leftover parts of the chicken are. So, please, let's not go down that rabbit hole.
Picture a chicken wing, like a buffalo wing.
Yeah.
And you're saying you...
Take the bones out.
Is that what a boneless wing looks like to you?
Yeah, so it's like dark meat. I think the nugget is like white meat, dark meat, everything.
No, I used to eat boneless wings all the time at BW3. I didn't like to admit it, but it's not all dark meat at all.
Oh, it's not? I just assume the wing is dark meat.
Yeah, I don't think that's what you think it is. It's basically a chicken nugget.
Well, it's going to be spicy, and it's going to be painful, and I have the Nuggets in five, and I'm really hoping somehow Miami puts together at least one good game.
The other thing, too, is it's a lot more meat than there's actually on a wing in a boneless, not in a boneless wing. I don't know what Sean Marash was talking about. He's completely wrong. We have to do a test next week where we put boneless wings and chicken nuggets, and I will actually make him decide which is which. He won't even know.
Wait a minute, but that's going to be before we pay off the bet, so now we got an extra step before we even get to the hot nugget part?
Well, it was just an excuse to be able to eat boneless chicken wings.
Okay. It started off hot nuggets, so we got to get that bet over with, and then we can start betting on Aaron Rodgers and whether or not this is going to be a disaster.
Not disaster. I just don't think he's going to throw for 48 touchdowns. I think Peyton Manning's dead wrong, by the way. I don't think he's going to play.
Peyton Manning thinks it's going to be gunslinging, high-flying offense.
He said he's going to play fast. It makes no sense with this team. And, I mean, is Aaron Rodgers, I know he's at OTAs now. Is he really going to become that familiar with the team that he's ready to just go out there and fly around?
I think so. I think so. I think this is, he's showing you he's like all in.
Pa!
He's here in New York going to Wicked with CJ Uzama. If that's not all in, I don't know what is.
He's all in on New York City, that's for sure, but we'll see.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Maggie and Perloff in for Jim Rome on this summer Friday. Coming up, the one change that could be coming for the Dallas Cowboys. We'll explain what that is. Do we believe it? We'll do that next. Don't move. More Maggie and Perloff on CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network in just moments.
All right, for the ones who get it done, Grainger's offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product experts ready to answer your toughest questions. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. This is my favorite time of the NFL year because everything is so rosy, Maggie. They're in OTAs. Everyone's wearing shorts. The coaches are in a good mood. They even get some sleep. But
yeah, right.
But do you believe everything you hear right about now?
No, this is one of our favorite games. It is Maggie Gray and Andrew Perloff in for Jim Rome today on this summer Friday. A game we like to call Do You Believe It? And let's start off with Micah Parsons in Dallas, because the Dallas Cowboys, of course, always news. Here's Parsons on his new outlook for this season.
I'm kind of off the sack wave. I'm on to the impact wave. Like, you see Aaron Donald, he can have 12 sacks, but the impact he makes is, like, so dominant. Like, you can tell, I'm really just want to be a dominant. Then you see guys who have 16, 17 sacks, but they're not considered a guy. I want to be a guy, not one of the guys. You feel me?
All right. So that is Micah Parsons no longer chasing any kind of sack records. Now he's just an impact guy. Do you believe it?
Well, it doesn't even make sense to me because Aaron Donald famously had 20 and a half sacks one year, the most ever for a defensive tackle, almost the most of all time. And his number for Aaron Donald is like, well, Aaron Donald just have 12 sacks. That's a ton. And make an impact. I don't think there's any guys in the league who get 17 sacks and are not a guy. So I do believe, I don't think he's counting the sacks. I do think he is so confident. He's such, I mean, Micah Parsons, since Penn State, is the cockiest guy in the world.
Yeah,
in
right.
a great way.
Deserves to be. Right?
So I don't think he's necessarily chasing sacks, but I do think, like, it's pretty gaudy to put yourself in the same sentence with Aaron Donald, and I think he probably deserves it.
Well, here's the thing. So rookie season, where he was the defensive rookie of the year, 13 sacks, followed it up next year in 2022 with 13 and a half.
Right.
So part of it's maybe he knows he's not going to be likely leading the team or the league in sacks. Lead the team in sacks, not leading the league in sacks. Maybe this is a convenient way to kind of say, like, hey, I don't even want that sack record. I'm all about impact plays now. It's like, well, you weren't close.
Well, I mean,
he's an excellent player. I'm scared to death of him, and he's a menace, but he might just say, I'm not chasing this because I know I'm not going to get it.
Well, I mean, there's a couple issues with him, too. How often does he drop back and cover somebody?
Yeah, exactly.
Play a little linebacker? And I know the Eagles' strategy at times has been, if he's on the field, just run the football at him instead of, you do not want him rushing the passer. So I do think, you know, Dan Quinn's an amazing defensive coordinator. I think they'll figure it out, but I don't think he can always just pin his ears back and go for the quarterback.
I mean, he's got to be looking at Defensive Player of the Year this year. All right, let's move on. Do you believe it? With Maggie and Pearl off, here's Tom Brady.
Well, I was very fortunate to play with him and be a member of those teams. And with him and his leadership and his ability to coach and put our team in a great position to succeed, I think we had a great relationship.
That was Brady on Bill Belichick. Brady making the rounds yesterday, reiterating he's not going to play next year, sure. And saying he had a great relationship with Bill Belichick. Perloff, I do not believe it.
Yeah.
I think that they are now looking back on their relationship with the rose-colored glasses that only come from having mutual respect for each other, sure. But did they have a great relationship at the end? Definitely not. I don't even think they were barely talking to each other.
Yeah, that's Tom Brady liar voice. It's similar to Russell Wilson liar voice, but not liar voice, but I'm just saying words for the media so they'll leave me alone. There was not a hint of sincerity in there. I 100% agree with you.
You know, one other PS to that, he said that Belichick was the first person to text him after he won the title with Tampa. Do you believe that?
I do believe that. Yeah. I think they're fine. I don't think they had a great relationship, but first of all, you've seen Bill Belichick. Can you picture him being buddy-buddy with Tom Brady? I think they're fine, but I don't think they had a great relationship like we've seen over the years. Like, there's no way when Tom Brady goes to the Hall of Fame, Bill Belichick's going to introduce him. All right, cut that for when it happens in 5 years.
No, it'd be Alex Guerrero is going to interrupt him as their snake oil TB12 guy. No, but so here's the question I'd love to know. Belichick was the first person to text him after he won in Tampa. How long did it take for Brady to text him back? Because I'm thinking that's a week.
Oh, no.
Easy.
No. Brady definitely pays homage to Belichick.
No, of course he does. They have to. They were so successful together.
But you heard that voice there, right? You know Tom Brady, what he sounds like when he's just sort of saying. And he said it on the shop with LeBron that he lies 90% of the time when he's talking to the media.
Yeah.
This is one of those 90%.
Let's move on. Jonathan Gannon, Mr. Pew, 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 finger guns himself. Interesting explanation for why they had to cut DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, it's just, you know, all the factors that were in play, we just felt that it was the best thing for the team to, you know, play with who we have.
Do you believe him?
Here's what he's basically saying. Like, I'm good tanking in a way. Because on a football sense, no, of course, losing DeAndre Hopkins is not the best thing. He was miserable in Arizona, I get it. But I don't know if a head coach can think about tanking. And honestly, I also think they have a problem here. They're paying Kyler Murray, whose rehab is going well. It's just a very convoluted system. It doesn't seem like any positive way out for the Cardinals.
Yeah, of course we don't believe this. What head coach in the right mind is like, yeah, please take our most talented player and take him off the field. That makes
sense. But
Buda Baker, maybe he's the most talented.
People do like, I think coaches like to get rid of the diva wide receiver sometimes.
How do they even know each other? Jonathan Gannon got there 5 seconds ago.
Well, Jonathan Gannon got there and immediately found out that the star wide receiver didn't want to be there. Yeah. Right? Put two and two together.
Yeah, I'd take that personally if I were him. Okay, moving on. We've got John Lynch, general manager of the San Francisco 49ers, obviously, talking on Sirius XM NFL Radio about Trey Lance.
Really proud of Trey. Trey came back off a broken and dislocated ankle, and he's out there, has had a really, really quality offseason. So we still remain very high on Trey.
Do you believe it that the 49ers remain very high on Trey Lance? I believe the 49ers want to believe that. But they don't really, because they're also saying that Brock Purdy is going to be like leader in the clubhouse whenever he, you know, gets over his elbow injury. To me, they foobarred the Trey Lance situation and all those draft picks they traded away to move up and get him. And the only way this works is in spite of the 49ers, not because of the 49ers. Lance, if he comes out and plays amazing and Brock Purdy just can't get on the field because that's how well he's playing, that's not because the 49ers did anything. That's because Trey Lance did something great.
Yeah, I don't know. Here's the thing about Trey Lance. He's 23.
Yeah.
So Hendon Hooker and Stetson Bennett are coming into the league right now. They're both 2 years older than Trey Lance. He is a young, young player. So if he didn't have that number three overall pick, say he was just in camp, say he was a fifth-round pick, I think the Niners would be very excited about him. I think it's the problem is this expectation and what they gave up for him. You know, he could be a really 23 is a developmental age. I think there is some real excitement. I think the problem is that draft pick, all the picks they gave up for him. If he was a fifth-round pick, they'd be thrilled to have that guy because he is a great athlete. He's been working on his throwing. I do believe what John Lynch is saying. There's a lot of reports out there that he has fixed his motion. He's ready to go. I'm high on Trey Lance. No. I think it's going
to
work.
Listen, we all know the 49ers have to carry no fewer than 100 quarterbacks in case any of them get injured. But you brought in Sam Darnold. Like
Watch out. Darnold's going to win a playoff game, Maggie. I would guarantee that.
Going to. Darnold he might play in a playoff game, but he's not going to win one.
With Kyle Shanahan?
Listen, I like Sam Darnold. Personally, done a couple interviews with him. Nice enough guy. Watched every snap he took in New York. Not good. Guy's just not that great of a player. I'm sorry. And then it didn't help in Carolina either.
San Francisco. I could just turn left and hand the ball to Debo, turn right and hand the ball to McCaffrey. How hard is that?
Last one for you. Here's D'Amico Ryans, of course, the head coach of the Houston Texans, talking about C.J. Stroud's progress.
He's progressing well. I think each day he continues to get better, continues to get more comfortable with the verbiage of the offense. His command of the huddle, I thought this week, has been really good. He's definitely progressing in the right direction.
All right. C.J. Stroud progressing in the right direction. Sure. I have no reason not to believe this. Maybe he is. I'm expecting very little from the Houston Texans this year. I think this is a total training year for C.J. Stroud. And just get comfortable with the league. Try. Take your lumps. And I think he gets to really have this sort of like post-grad year, if you will, as the quarterback of the Texans.
Yeah, I have reason not to believe it because I Googled some Zach Wilson rookie OTAs headlines, and they are nothing but glowing in New York. So late May, early June OTA with a number two overall pick means absolutely nothing. So I don't believe him. I agree with you. The team is so thin that they're not going to have any expectations on him. But, you know, they gave up that draft pick. I wonder, there was a report that they were interested in DeAndre Hopkins. That made no sense.
Ended badly with him in Houston.
It will be unfortunate. If it does go badly, Maggie, I think this is going to feel really bad because they're going to be losing for no purpose.
Right.
I guess it's a developmental
year. They don't have the
draft
pick, right.
Yeah. I mean, it is. I think that, you know, if I'm a Texans fan, I'm excited to have C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson, but they're going to take their lumps this season. So I don't really read much into that comment.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Number's a little bit different from Jim Rome, but if you want to get in touch with the show, that's who to call. David is in Indianapolis, is the thought on Aaron Rodgers this season. Hey, David, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
We're doing great. What do you got?
Well, you were talking about, you know, how you think Aaron Rodgers is going to do.
Yeah.
And Perloff said he thinks he's going to be closer to 26 touchdowns. I wanted to throw a hypothetical out there. If he were to throw 37 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, and 4,700 yards, would you consider that quote-unquote struggling his first year in New York?
Is that Dak Prescott's stats from last year, by the way? Is that where you're going?
No, it's Peyton's stats from his first year in Denver, and you said he struggled a little bit.
He struggled his first, remember? Okay, maybe I'm wrong about this.
No, 37 touchdowns, 11 interceptions.
What did he throw the next year?
Yards.
What did he throw the next year?
55 touchdowns.
So he improved 18 touchdowns. Relatively, he struggled.
Relatively, he struggled. 37 touchdowns is his like third highest career.
Well, yeah, but remember he started off a little slow. He was still getting used to like his new. He was coming off of surgery.
No. He played the Steelers his first game and he threw three touchdowns and over like 300 yards, almost 400.
Okay, so you're telling me he didn't improve from year one to year two?
I'm not saying that. You're trying to obfuscate from what you said, which was he struggled his first year.
Classic Perloff. Always obfuscating.
All right, you caught me
in
an
obfuscation. Thank you
but
for the phone call.
I wonder. I'm not sure Peyton Manning could play at full speed his first year. I think there was there had to be an adjustment period. There always is. And that's why I think the comment that this was based on was Peyton Manning said Aaron Rodgers is ready to move fast. I get it. Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest of all time, but how can you really be ready to move fast when you have a brand new team, even though you do have the same OC?
Yeah, so I think what you're referring to is the fact that they did go 13-3, Manning statistically had a good season, but they lost in the first round to the Ravens, which is the divisional round, right?
I'm referring to the fact that the next year, Manning came out
and
knew
the
team.
MVP.
I mean, he set the all-time touchdown record the next year. He had some getting used to on that particular team. He was really good.
By the way, Peyton Manning threw three picks in the second game of that season to Atlanta the next game.
Yeah, in Atlanta. I remember that's a game I was thinking about. Exactly.
So there was some early,
he was getting used to it. Just come off the neck surgery, and his arm was not the same, but he was so darn smart. Then he was a year healthier, and forget it. That was insane.
That Broncos started 1-2 that year. Lost next week to Houston.
Well, by the way, he said 37 touchdowns, 11 picks. Wasn't Dak Prescott 37 touchdowns and 10 picks 2 years ago for Dallas?
Maybe 2 years ago. Last year, obviously, he threw 15 interceptions.
I just think it's funny, and we killed Dak Prescott as not being good enough.
37 touchdowns, 11 picks, 4,700 yards. I think Aaron Rodgers probably wins the MVP.
No way. Because Dak was 37-10 last year. You have to be really good.
Saying they're going to give, this is part of what happens in New York, too.
Yeah.
You get the New York bump, and it's Rodgers.
He's not throwing 37 touchdowns.
I'm just telling you.
He's just not doing that.
That could be MVP-like numbers. If totally. He also has the Jets winning the AFC East or something,
but he's not.
They'll give it to him.
If he throw, okay. Mark this down, by the way. If he throws 37 touchdowns and 10 picks as a Jets quarterback, you realize the history of this franchise. Do you realize he's wearing a Jets uniform?
Yes. I said when they were at the Taylor Swift concert and the confetti is coming down with him and the actor Miles Teller, and they're saying Jets win the Super Bowl, I thought that was the most tone-deaf thing you could possibly do. Do you not know where you're playing? The fact that you would go out on a limb and put that out there for one of the more snake-bitten franchises in the history of pro sports, I thought was totally tone-deaf. But at the same time, maybe you like the bravado. I don't know.
Do you guys know who has the most touchdowns ever by a Jets quarterback? I think you know.
I mean, CeeLo was the
Ryan
Jets.
Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. Ryan Fitzpatrick, baby, 31.
With Brandon Marsh on Eric Decker.
Were you covering the team when Geno got punched in the face?
I sure was.
Yeah.
One of the great sequences I've ever witnessed in person.
You saw it.
Well, no. Just the whole Todd Bowles coming in pre-practice, which was unusual.
Right.
And we're assembling in the media room. And to the point where one of the reporters said, is this something we're going to want to record? And Bowles goes, you're going to want to record this one.
This guy's got a sense of humor. If someone had told you that day, Geno Smith is going to, eventually lead another team to the playoffs, what would you have said?
I was always a Geno guy.
Yeah.
So maybe not
as likable guy.
Maybe not as outlandish as others, because I was curious to see him that year with those weapons.
Yeah.
And it was the worst possible timing for him to have that happen.
Over $500, right?
Fitzpatrick steps in and the rest is history.
It was $500 that Geno owed him for a charity.
Something like
thing.
That. Yeah. He didn't show up to, it was like a youth football camp for IKN and Poly. It was one of their late round draft picks. Mm-hmm. And they had beef over it. And Geno, I guess, was dragging his feet on it and things escalated. And there you go.
Guy got it. So. What was his signing bonus? Probably $5 million.
Geno? I don't remember what it was.
Second round pick.
Was he with the first or second pick of the second round? Remember he stayed and he wore that white sweater vest for night two.
Fired my buddy the next day.
Was your friend his agent?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I know his agent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a mess.
Sure was.
I bet. CeeLo had a front row for 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. All right, coming up, a little bit of history getting dredged up today. What's the truth? What's a lie? We're going to get to the bottom of all of it. It's always crazy when you fill in for Rome, because I've heard this song so many times and so associated with his show, and now to be hosting the show. Maggie and Perloff in for Jim today. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question comes from Sam in Portland, Oregon. Should men FaceTime each other? Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros or tweeting it at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Full disclosure, didn't know this was a thing until Charles Barkley brought it up last night on NBA TV.
You be sending me videos of your swing, be FaceTime me. You know dudes don't FaceTime each other. That's inappropriate.
Really?
Dudes don't FaceTime each other, man.
Right?
Dudes don't FaceTime each other.
All right, Chuck.
Okay, just telling you.
I'm going to defer to the dudes on this one. Dudes FaceTime each other?
I've never thought about this before, but I would sooner send a carrier pigeon than FaceTime my buddies. Like, I'm thinking of my buddy Dave. What if I just randomly FaceTime? Hey, what are you doing? Because I FaceTime my kids.
Yeah.
I FaceTime my wife on occasion, not often, because usually we have to exchange information. I FaceTime my parents with the kids so they can talk to their grandparents. If I FaceTime Dave or Sherm or
your random
Danny,
friend Bruce.
Yeah. Well, Bruce, that'd be interesting. Bruce is a show character.
Yeah, Bruce is a show character.
No,
long
be like,
story short on Bruce has a glass eye that he once lost mid-coitus.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, they think I lost it or accidentally FaceTimed them. Like, I never FaceTime you.
No.
Except if I butt dial you, then I FaceTime you. So, but wait, do you FaceTime your girlfriends?
No, but I think this is more, maybe it's our generation. We have actually, since the pandemic, we do Zoom a lot more with my friends who are out of town.
Okay.
Sometimes, but we're on group chats. We're still in the group chat phase. Mm. And if I want to call a friend, I generally just call them. I'm not a big FaceTimer, but again, it just might be my age. You know, I'm just turned 40. I just don't FaceTime a lot of my friends.
What about you guys? Anybody, you're younger, FaceTime anyone?
I mean, my friend just FaceTimed me. My shout out to my homie, Martin Torres. He FaceTimed me when Derek White hit that shot. The first thing he did, I was at his barbecue and I left early because I had an early shift here.
Yeah.
And he FaceTimed me when the shot went in. And those have been moments where we'll FaceTime each other, where something
so
big happens.
Big moments,
sports,
buzzer beaters.
Things like
whatever.
That. Yeah, or big family events or important information that goes out.
Okay.
The FaceTime will come out
so,
here or there.
Like a big basketball win, and since you're a Knicks fan, you probably don't FaceTime, just like Charles Barkley
said.
That's
actually the opposite. The Knicks have had some really dramatic wins. Like, I don't even remember the game, not last
year. Like Willis Reed in 1970?
not that old. R.J. Barrett's game winner over the Celtics.
Oh, get out of here.
That was a FaceTime.
That's not FaceTime worthy.
Absolutely was a FaceTime moment.
Larry Johnson's three-pointer in the Garden was FaceTime worthy.
Beating Cleveland in the first round.
Oh, get out of here.
Plenty of FaceTime
moments.
Listen,
E.J. actually hosts a Knicks podcast, so everything's going to be FaceTimeable for him. For the regular person, maybe LJ hit in that shot, but there was no FaceTime. Wasn't even close to being invented.
Maybe on the beeper.
Yeah, right.
I actually wish I had FaceTimed Stu because he's a Raiders fan when Kyler Murray ran in for those two touchdowns he had just to see see a grown man cry.
How about when Stu's Raiders got beat by Jeff Saturday? Stu, do you FaceTime with your guy friends?
Yeah, I do.
I
don't think that's weird at all. Yeah, I do. I'm not saying every day, but maybe a couple times a week I FaceTime with guy friends. So yeah, I don't think it's weird.
Stu, get out of here. Really?
Yeah. It's FaceTime. It's 2023.
I know.
That's how you talk to people.
I think it's you and me and Barkley who are on the wrong side
First
of this.
First of all, talk to people. Like, there's no way I'm picking up the phone and calling a guy friend either.
So that's another thing. I think now the younger generation, you guys are in your 30s, but like younger generation, I think you guys are back on the phone call. I thought we all abandoned the phone call long ago.
Text is the first priority, but I think after that it's FaceTime, then phone call.
Yeah, I think phone call is three. Like I also hate being on the phone, so I'm a weird person in that regard. So don't call me.
No. You're not weird.
You're a guy.
That's normal. I'm a woman and I hate being on the phone.
Yeah, you should hear my dad on the phone. That conversation, once we run out of Sixers things to talk about, here's your mom. That is, guys don't like to talk on the phone.
Wait, speaking of Philly, so a new thing got dredged up today. That Russell Wilson exercised his no trade clause when he was on the trade block from Seattle to not go to Philadelphia specifically. He also did not want to go to Washington, D.C.
Oh, okay. So I don't remember the exact report. The Eagles had Jalen Hurts, but they really wanted Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson. I think Watson was their first priority. Watson made it very clear that there's no way he was going to Philadelphia. So he ended up in Cleveland. Now, what does that say about Philadelphia? Deshaun Watson's like, no, there's no way I'm going to Philadelphia, but I'll go to Cleveland.
I think it was the 250 guarantee, 230 guarantee.
I'm just saying, what's wrong with Philadelphia? What's wrong? Russell went to Denver. That was a terrible idea. He should have come to Philly. Much better coaching staff, much better talent. He'd probably be fine right now.
I don't think he'd be fine, and that would be a crime now against humanity to leave Jalen Hurts on the bench. I mean, the guy's a great quarterback. We'll be in the MVP conversation this year.
They remind me a lot of each other, by the way, those two players. Russell.
And Hurts is better right now. Let's get on the phones. Phil's our pal in Pennsylvania. He's got a thought on our show bet. Phil, quickly, let me rehash it for a new audience. Show bet is for the finals. We didn't want to do just Heat Nuggets. Nuggets are too much of a favorite. So we had to pick, when's the series going to end? Perloff has four games. I have five. Our pal and fan Nick in Texas has six. The whole show has seven. What happens is if you pick correctly when the series ends, you win, you're home free. If you lose, you have to eat the world's spiciest and hottest chicken nugget. Get it? Heat Nuggets. So that's the show bet. Phil, what do you have?
I will do five games, but I will do a ghost pepper wing from Popeyes.
All right, so Phil's in. By the way, Phil, we might have to send you like a waiver or something in the mail. You can just go ahead and sign that, get that notarized, and send it back to us.
I can handle my spicy.
Okay, but you know, that's what everyone says until they're wearing a male diaper.
I've done it before.
All right, so Phil, you're in, okay?
I'm in.
But seriously, I'm going to probably send you that waiver. Thank you so much.
I didn't know they had a ghost pepper nugget at Popeyes. That'll work. There's Popeyes near here.
Do you think we should do that?
Well, I mean, I think we'd be better off ordering from a restaurant than trying to make our own spicy nuggets or wings.
I thought we were just going to go and buy hot sauce. I'm going to be honest. That's what I thought we were doing.
No. Okay. I know that McDonald's has a spicy nugget, but that can't be that spicy. Buffalo Wild Wings is famous. I think they have a very spicy one. I think that's where we should go.
Okay. Still got some details to iron out here. Hey, this has been a blast. Thanks to everyone at the Jim Rome Show at CBS Sports Network. Great to work with everybody again. Thank you to Stu Kovacs. Thank you to EJ Stewart. Thank you to George Carl, who joined us earlier in the show, to Sean King, who joined us, to the Weedos and the Purple Drinkers, the fans of Maggie and Perloff, getting to know the clones today. We love bringing people together. Have a great weekend, everyone. We out.